We have our Stanley Cup final matchup set. Tampa Bay Lightning, Dallas Stars. Talked about it earlier. This is what we wanted to see. Tampa's the team that deserves to be there. I think we're all unanimous on that one. But what do we think of this Lightning team now? They've finally made it back to the Cup Final 5 years later, a little bit more than 5 years after their loss to Chicago in 2015. Because last time they went in as the underdog against a powerhouse dynasty, the final cup of the Taves, Kane, Keith, Seabrook, Crawford era of the Chicago Blackhawks, they got ousted in six. This time, Will, they're going in as heavy favorites. I'm really curious to see how the Lightning handle this trip to the Stanley Cup Final 5 years later, knowing that most people are going to look at them as the team that should win this series.
I think they're going to handle it a lot better, and I say that because I really think that they've kind of slayed that dragon. They got past the Columbus Blue Jackets this year. And really, you know, on paper, they're the better team. I think this is a team that has had so many deep playoff runs and has not had the success. They don't really care if they're favorites. They're just going to go out there and play their best hockey. So I'm not too worried about how they handle things or if they're going to be, you know, fumbling with this pressure, Pete. It really feels like this is a group that has been to a, you know, numerous amount of conference finals. Yes, they've been to a cup final. They lost in six games ultimately to the Blackhawks, but this does not strike me as a team that's going to have troubles dealing with being the favorite going into the Stanley Cup final.
No, I really think that passing that test of the Columbus Blue Jackets and then passing a couple relatively similar ones with the Bruins and now the Islanders, I think has the Tampa Bay Lightning in the right mindset for this. They've faced a bit of adversity and have been able to come back from it. And you look at the other side, the Dallas Stars do have a couple of guys who have been here before, but they're not that super experienced team when it comes to the Stanley Cup Final. And even if they were, no one has experienced the Stanley Cup Final in a bubble before. So I think the Tampa Bay Lightning are primed here to, I guess, fulfill their destiny and make it to hoisting the Stanley Cup. I think they're better than the Dallas Stars are. And I think that their path here has been really helpful in shaping the mindset they need to win a championship.
I like the mindset they're going in with as well. Like they seem like they're a group that is far more determined. They seem like a group that knows how disappointing all of this has tasted over the last 5 years. A playoff exit, a first round sweep, two game seven losses in the Eastern Conference Final, and a game six loss in the Stanley Cup Final. Since they've gotten to the Stanley Cup Final in 2015, that's how things have gone. And I don't know what this series is going to look like, how it's going to go. We'll do some predictions a little bit later on. But this is one of those circumstances, Kleiner, where I say to myself, sometimes phrases or sometimes cliches are way overused, like you have to lose to win. Like, sometimes I can get really tired and say, well, I mean, the Penguins wouldn't have won those that Stanley Cup and got to the back-to-back Stanley Cup finals if they didn't get knocked out by Ottawa in five games. You're like, is that really true? Like, who the hell knows if that was the case? But in this case, Tampa has had so much disappointment. They've been so close. They know what it takes to get there. They also know how to lose. They know what leads to a loss. They know how a series can slip away. I really wonder how much all of that with this very similar core group, save for a couple of additions, I'm really curious how that all plays in to this series and this trip to the Cup Final.
And you learn to not take the opportunities for granted. As John Cooper said in a clip that Logo had for Lubo in Hockey Central at noon, where Brendan Morrow was on that team back in 2015 and saying, hey, by the way, guys, this don't happen all that often. So try to take advantage of these opportunities when you get them. And the Lightning have... right, yeah. Wasn't expecting a drop from the guy from Saskatchewan for this show. But for the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think you...
Too much to ask on this show.
For the Lightning, you look at some of the setbacks that they have had, and I think specifically last year was a wake-up call that this is a very good team that still needs to take these things seriously. You're not just going to out-talent everyone. They get a bit of a taste of that with the Islanders forcing them to a sixth game. But, Will, I think this path that they have been able to take is really setting themselves, really setting Tampa Bay up in the right mindset to go into a series against the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, they've had enough adversity and injuries, too, along the way. I just think that this thing sets up nicely for them. Now, that being said, we're talking so heavily in their favor. Let's not forget that both the Avalanche and the Golden Knights also were in the same kind of position. We're looked at as the superior, and Dallas was able to knock both those cats off. So I don't think it's an automatic slam dunk, but certainly the path over the last 6, 7, 8 years that most of this core has been through in Tampa, I think is going to do them really well here in this cup final.
Yeah, and I'm impressed at what this group has been able to do. I do worry a little bit about their health. Because, look, Point looked fine last night. You said it earlier, Will, and I'm 100% with you. Braden Point didn't look any worse for wear. Didn't look like he was playing at, 80% or 60%. Guy looked like the Conn Smythe Trophy candidate that he's been throughout this postseason. But Cirelli left and came back, scored the overtime winner, of course. But, you wonder about his health. You wonder about Point. Is he going to be playing at 100%? And I'm fascinated to see if Stamkos comes back. Anybody have a feel? Anybody have a gut feel as to whether or not we see Stamkos back? Will, you think he's the captain's back in this series?
I don't know if he's going to be back, to be perfectly honest. We know what injury updates are like inside that bubble. And I'm not sure if you guys saw, but it was about 35 minutes ago on Twitter. Media avails for today. Julian Brisbois says he is not eligible for game one or will not play tomorrow in game one, but he's not been ruled out for the series. Now, that could just be all lip service, Pete. I don't know. Again, as we say, injury updates are so limited. He looked okay in the celebration last night in terms of being able to walk around and certainly hold that trophy. But that's obviously completely different than actually playing in a hockey game. So I don't know if he's going to be able to play. I think it's a massive boost if he can. But being ruled out for game one and the fact that really every update we've got is that he's not really that close, I'm not super confident we do see him before the end of this series.
Yeah, I think if there was a chance that he was going to be ready for this series, they wouldn't have ruled him out so quickly for the Eastern Conference Final. Like, I see how quickly, instead of, oh no, unfit, like Ben Bishop's been unfit to play for two series now. And they just keep,
and
just
Rick
day
Bonas
by day,
still started
keep going him. Along. Yeah, exactly.
And somehow he's in the Stanley Cup Final after that.
Right, yeah, I have no idea how. But for Stamkos, because of how quickly they said, oh yeah, he's not coming back for these, I can't imagine that cutoff was just the exact time that the Stanley Cup final started. And obviously, game one, he's not going to be there. I am at the point where I would be surprised if the Lightning have their captain at any point in this cup final.
I'd be surprised too, but I'm just gonna send the good vibes out there. I want to see him. Totally. I would really like to see him get that opportunity after all that he's had to go through injury-wise the last number of years. It would be really cool if he could get into this series. But yeah, I don't think that either of your reads are off base at all.
There's Savage Me. I'm just like, the Lightning has got so much cap issues next year. I'm like, trade that guy. I love Stamkos, and I really feel for him because he's had so many injury issues in his career. And his career, when healthy, he's been phenomenal ever since he came into the league. But if I'm Tampa and I'm Brisbois, I'm not even joking you. I would seriously look at that because they've got a ton of cap issues and they've gone to a cup final, had many deep playoff runs without him.
Yeah, and here they are again without him in the Stanley Cup final. Cup final starts tomorrow. Note the start time. Every game in this series starts at 6 except tomorrow. Tomorrow's game starts at 5:30 p.m. for game one of the Stanley Cup Final in Edmonton.
Very
Dallas
NHL.
Stars and Tampa Bay Lightning, extremely NHL-y, starting game one at 5:30 and the rest at 6 o'clock. But that is 5:30 puck drop.
Tomorrow, noon start. Let's go.
It has something to do. It's guaranteed something to do with NBC. I just don't exactly know what. I haven't bothered to do the research as to what it has to do with NBC, but it is a 5:30 start tomorrow for game one of the Cup Final. We'll have every game for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Big show is underway into hour number two alongside Peter Klein, Will Nault, and Logan Gordon. My name is Pat Steinberg. We're in our Sportsnet 960 downtown studios and our two satellite locations as well. the text line's like, did we miss it? I didn't miss Michigan Monday, did I? I want to hear Michigan on the overtime winner. Have no fear. It is time for another edition of Michigan Monday, the show that has been renewed by the network for at least 4 more episodes, possibly more. Michigan Monday renewed into the Stanley Cup Final. We have 3 goals, and it really builds up, boys. Like, this is a very nice building momentum into our overtime crescendo. For the 5th straight game, the New York Islanders opened the scoring last night.
Barzal trying to get away. Matt Barzal, center point. A little shot blocked. Rebound loose by the Lightning net. It comes to Bogosian. He'll tap to Sergachev in the near corner. Left wing Barkley Goodrow. A man is on him.
Unbelievable.
And he turns it over. Barzal right circle. Right point Anders Lee. Lee to the center point. Looks to shoot. He'll feed it. Behind the net. Wraparound try. Score. Devon Taves.
A defenseman. Way in there. I don't know how this happened. But the Islanders score first again.
Yep. 5th game in a row.
Klein even saying it the entire time. Like, there's literally no analysis.
Right.
He actually even said,
I don't know how it happened. the opposite of analysis.
Just, and then he just drops the again.
Yeah. The disdain of a defenseman. Like, just, oh, perfect. So such a great start.
Way in there. I don't know.
Where is he? Here, hold on.
A defenseman.
I don't even know how he gets in there.
Like, literally, like, Labardius would be like, you know, and Taves snuck by this guy.
Well, Labardius
nice read.
Always takes the, that's what I love about him as the color guy, because he'll take the play back like 90 seconds and
absolutely,
tell you what happened.
Because he'll see it and he'll be like, okay, here's how the goal happened. And then contrast to this.
I don't know how this happened.
Amazing.
Meanwhile, Labardius would tell you how he got out of his own zone. And, you know, track the puck.
Here's the game-tying goal from Conn Smythe Trophy candidate Victor Hedman.
Chernak, right circle Kucherov. Right corner, Andre Palat. Palat looking for room, high slot. He shoots, missed the net. Rebound, Chernak, left circle. One arms to Kucherov, left corner. He'll rattle it cross ice. It's going to be held in by Hedman, covering the right point. Center point, Chernak. Shoot, save made, rebound. Hedman, score! Hedman again! Oh, that was a great shift by the Lightning, and Hedman has tied the game at 1 with 13:32 left in the first.
So a 1-1 tie, off to overtime we go. The Tampa Bay Lightning a shot away from a berth in the Stanley Cup Final. Your crescendo, Dave Mischkin and Phil Esposito in all their glory.
Lee taps it in. Jordan Eberle is after it in the right corner. Eberle got checked by Chernak. Nicely done. Sergachev quick up to Killorn. Now Anthony Cirelli at center. Cirelli bangs it in and chases. Cirelli after the puck right circle. Can he keep it alive? In the right corner. Right corner, Goodrow. Barkley Goodrow behind the net. In front, Cirelli. Shoots! Is it in? Score! Score!
Is it in? Is it
Cirelli!
In?
Cirelli!
Yep.
The Lightning win it! It's over! Stanley Cup Final! Here come the Lightning!
Well, I'll tell you what. This was a great play by Goodrow. And Cirelli flips it off the goalpost. It goes right along the line and then goes in off the left skate of Varlamov.
Just
Varlamov.
Just a little. This is a great finale. Like
Varlamov.
Of Varlamov.
And I love the like both not even sure what's going on. It's that might be the greatest call of all
is
time.
It in? Score! Score!
Is it in? Is it
Cirelli!
In?
Cirelli!
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, because the guy screaming scores wasn't enough. Espo needs to confirm that the goal went in by saying, yep.
Score!
Is it in? Is it in?
Cirelli! Cirelli!
Yep.
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 And, like, oh, what makes that call worse and what makes it even, like, you know, more hilarious and one of my all-time faves is there's zero crowd noise. They're just in a boardroom screaming.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah, very true. Wedley writes, hey, Espo, what kind of position does Hedman play?
A defenseman.
Very true. That is very, very true. That really did live up to the hype.
I'm so happy we have 4-7 more of these. Come on, Stars, 4-7. Let's get 7 more of these.
Patty Dumas texted us last night. Said, you're gonna love the overtime winner. I was like, all right. Yeah, it lived up to the hype. It lived up to the boy. To the hype. There you go. Another edition of Michigan Mondays. It is back into the Stanley Cup Final. It'll be Tampa and the New York Islanders. Boys, I don't want to kick a team when they're down, but
that's what you're going to do.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. I don't want to, but I have to. The way the New York Islanders play hockey is never going to win a team a Stanley Cup. And I kind of don't see the point in doing it, to be perfectly honest, to build your team the way the Islanders have. You cannot be one of the NHL's worst possession teams all season long and then carry that on to the playoffs. You can't routinely get outshot and spend all night defending. You can't rely that much on your goaltender, whoever that goalie is. And I guess why I say I don't see the point, I say that from a very idealistic utopian standpoint, because if the goal is to win a Stanley Cup, if the goal is to eventually be a champion, the Islanders are doing it wrong. If the goal is to go as far as possible with a strategy that won't ultimately work, that is unsustainable, but also in normal times would put butts in seats and get you some playoff gates, then go right ahead. I'm not saying the Islanders are wrong for doing what they did. It's more just from the big picture standpoint, Will. I'm like, okay, so are you trying to win a Stanley Cup, or are you just trying to go as far as possible knowing you're not going to win a Stanley Cup? Because I don't think that anybody would ever admit that behind closed doors. But from the outside, I don't see that brand of hockey ever ultimately winning you a cup, especially in this day and age, especially with the way the game is being played right now. So that's why I ask, what is ultimately the point in building a team and going about your business that way?
Well, are they going to continue to do that? And I ask that honestly, not knowing, because this is not, let's not forget, Pat, this is a team that has had deep playoff runs the last 2 years. You're saying it's not sustainable. Lou Lamoriello is giving you the double bird and saying it is, because they've got more playoff series wins than a lot of franchises or that most franchises would dream of having the last 2 years. And yes, there are some pieces there that you might not love and you'd love to move on for, like an Andrew Ladd at 34 years of age in the next 3 years at $5.5 million. But they've got some nice pieces there. And I do think they are building the right team. Is it the most exciting brand to watch? Is that going to win you a cup? Yeah, maybe not. But Pete, they've got a lot of, the last 2 years, if you take those and you ask a lot of fan bases if they'd take that, I would think they would.
Yeah, I disagree with Pat on this one quite a bit.
In what sense?
I do want to clarify by first saying I hate watching it. And I ripped them in the 1 o'clock saying, again, just because you're playing defense a lot doesn't mean you're doing it well. However, this was the way that this team, as currently constructed, could have the most success. And a team that lost their captain and star player a couple off seasons ago had to make a pretty substantial pivot. And they don't have that 1A star player that you can really, okay, hop on his back and let's go. This is a team that still has a lot of developing to do. And instead of going the rebuild route and hoping that you can somehow work your way out of mediocrity, they have gone away where they are still playing competitive while being outshot quite a bit. And that's not overly sustainable, but they have found a way where they can still make playoff runs and still get their guys, Barzell, Anders Lee, now 30 years old, so not really all that young, but they are getting these guys, these young players, Anthony Beauvillier, great experience. You see Noah Dobson get into the lineup last night. He's getting that playoff experience. You are getting these guys into these types of moments. It's kind of like what we're talking about to a certain extent with the Blue Jays this year, where just getting into the playoffs is a huge boost for guys like Guerrero and Bichette and Biggio, where you're getting them this experience. I love that the Islanders didn't go where everyone wanted them to go and just blow it up and, okay, well, guess we'll rebuild and see you guys in 5 years. And at that time, losing becomes okay, and you just turn into the Islanders that, quite frankly, I grew up with. I like that they have gone this way. I don't like watching it, but you have given all these young guys this great experience, and now they can build off of that. I don't think they're going to play like this forever, Pat, but I think this was the best way to get this team competitive, and I quite frankly applaud them for it.
I guess if it comes down to, is Lou Lamoriello going to build a team that is built to actually win, ultimately win, not win playoff rounds, but to win a Stanley Cup in the long run? And so in saying that, I still wonder a little bit about what the point is. And I'm not trying to say what you're saying is wrong, Klein, because it's not. You're 100% bang on about the way they went about their business. Yes, that is the only brand of hockey that they could have played to have success. But I don't know, like I don't know if I look at that team and say, watch out, they're going to be a Stanley Cup contender, and this is a group that is just on their way. I see this team, if they're going to want to continue to be successful, I think they're going to have to continue playing this way. I don't see a roster that is, and there's always changes that can be made, but right now I don't see a roster, I don't see a core that screams possession dynamo, that screams dominant, that screams they're going to impose on you at any point in the near future. And that's why I ask, what's the point? And again, I'm not an owner, and I very well understand that the point could very well be go as deep as you can, make as much money as you can. Like, I'm not the owner. It's not my millions and billions of dollars. So if that's the goal, then that's the goal. I don't see a sustainable Stanley Cup winner here. I really don't. I see a team that might be able to pluck off a few wins. They get to a conference final this year. But ultimately, I am very confident in saying that brand of hockey does not win you Stanley Cups.
Did they play that brand the entire playoffs, though? Like, am I the only one who kind of thinks that they got shut down because Tampa is far superior than them? Like, did they not dominate the Philadelphia Flyers? Did they not score a ton of goals in the previous two rounds? I just don't understand where this, you know, boringness comes from, because that's how they had to play against a team that is one of the greatest of our era the last 10 years in the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have gotten multiple President's Trophies, who can put up 5 or 6 goals a game. Like, am I wrong, Pete? Did they not, you know, play pretty well the last couple of rounds? And also, if you go back a year ago, I don't remember them ever being this boring. I just think that's the way they had to play against Tampa. And when you're outmatched, you have to try and win as a team as opposed to individuals against far superior talent.
Yeah, I thought they took it to the Flyers, like you said, and even to Washington to a certain extent.
No, I didn't see it with Washington. I really didn't. I thought they were extremely – that's just me. I will say that against the Flyers, they were the better team in that series, but I didn't see it against Washington.
Okay.
I didn't see it even a ton against Florida, and certainly not against Tampa. And look, they're one of the worst possession teams in the regular season in the NHL. They were like 29 in the regular season, and they were bottom third in the postseason as well. Sorry to cut you off, Kleiner.
Oh, no, it's fine. We're having a discussion. You're allowed to. Just never let it happen again. But I would say from Lou Lamoriello's standpoint and from Barry Trotz's standpoint, they didn't sign some of these contracts, right? Like, they inherited a team that had, like, a Minnesota Wild-esque cap-friendly page. And instead of just, with all due respect, being the Wild and just, okay, well, I guess we're just going to be mediocre for a while. It was, okay, how can we make this group win? I'm just going to go out there and report now. Probably not a great chance they're moving Andrew Ladd this offseason. I feel like that one's going to be tough to get off of the books. And they have a couple other contracts where it's like, okay, these things are going to hinder us. I think they would love to be possession dynamo fast. They would love to be the Tampa Bay Lightning, right? Like, they would love to be out shooting teams by 20 by the second period. This ain't the roster to do that, and you're not going to turn it over in one night when guys like Andrew Ladd have modified no trade clauses into their age 37 season. This is going to be a bit of a process building it, but until they can get the contract situation the way they would like it to be, this is the best way that they can win. I see no problem.
Are they going back to the Islanders? Do you see them back in the Eastern Conference Final next year?
Well, I didn't see them in the Eastern Conference Final this year. there are still some incredibly talented teams, right? But I think they are going to forever be, at least for the next couple of years, one of those teams where we get to 10 games out from the regular season and you start stacking up the matchups. And it's like, well, I don't want to play the Islanders in the first round. Do you want to play the Islanders in the first round? I don't want to play the Islanders in the first round. I don't know if this is a team that is going to be forever getting back to the conference final as currently constructed, but this is the best they can do with what they have now and with some of the shackles that have been put on them by prior regimes.
I fully understand, Will. They played the way that they needed to play to have success, and they did it well. 100%. That's not the point that I'm trying to make. I'm not saying they didn't deserve to be where they are. You win, what, they won 16 minus 6? You win 10 playoff games? That you deserve to be where you are in the conference final. They absolutely deserved it. But at the same time, I don't see this team being a group that we're going to be talking about. Like, I would take Boston, I would take Washington, I would take clearly Tampa Bay, and probably two or three other Eastern Conference teams going forward before I'd say that the New York Islanders are better. And it goes back, Will, Klein and I had a conversation about the Vegas Golden Knights while you were off. I think it was Monday or Tuesday we had it. And we got to get into this one day soon when we got a little bit more time. But it just goes to my theory that in this day and age, the best team does not always win. Everybody always says, well, eventually the best team wins in a 7-game series or in a long playoff run or in a Stanley Cup run. Maybe over 4 rounds, the best team eventually wins. Maybe. But in a 7-game series, I no longer believe the best team wins every single time. I really don't.
I guess I'm a little confused at why we're crushing. Like, did they not offer Artemi Panera on a max deal and he just chose the Rangers? Like, I don't understand why we're crushing a team who's gone to 5 playoff rounds in the last 2 years. Right. I just to me, I think it's a very cheap cherry pick to just say, are they going to get back to the, not every good team gets back to a conference final
cherry
every
pick.
Single
it's,
year.
It's very, I, I've,
you
I've
asked
reasoned,
them if they're going to get back next year.
I've to, reasoned, as a I've way reasoned, to back I've up reasoned his my stance in that I don't think that they are a sustainable brand of hockey the way they play and the way their roster is set up. I don't like the way they play. I don't enjoy watching them play, and I don't think that they are built for long-term success. They could make the playoffs lot next year, but I don't see them being a team that's going to be knocking on the Stanley Cup final door next year or the years beyond. So I don't see how that's a cherry pick. That's me asking a question. Do you see them being a perennial Eastern Conference powerhouse? How is that cherry picking?
No, you asked about conference final.
Well, just because that's what we're
talking
about.
That's what I mean. You, if you clarified your question like you just did to me, then I wouldn't have said you're cherry picking. But let's not forget they won 48 games in the 2018-19 season. And before the shutdown, they were one of the better teams. Yes, had a little bit of a downside. And they just went to an Eastern Conference final. So, are they over the next 5 years? I would take them over Washington. Washington's age is way higher. They don't have a long-term goaltender right now. And yes, Varlamov is maybe not an elite talent, but I would take him over Samsonov right now just based on the fact that he's proven. And Braden Holtby's not going to go back. Alexander Ovechkin's closer to 40 than he is 30. And again, I think if they can get out from some of this bad money, they can also acquire some big-name stars. So I think it's impossible for any of us to tell you what 5 years looks like down the road for the Islanders. But I think in the immediacy, as long as they've got Barry Trotz, and we've seen what Lou Lamoriello also did in Toronto before Kyle Dubas came in, he built that team into what they are today. I just think it's something that we should be giving a little bit more credit to as opposed to crushing them, because I think they are building this team the right way, and they have been dealt with a huge blow when it was all kicked off by John Tavares leaving them in free agency. So I give them a lot of credit, and I don't know if this is what is going to ultimately win them a Stanley Cup or if they're going to win one. But I certainly, if I'm a fan of the Islanders, I love the direction of my franchise.
Klein, who are they building around right now? Outside of Matt Barzal, where's their young talent?
I would say Matt Barzal is certainly like the guy that you are building around. Pageau at 27. I don't know if he's cornerstone guy, but you also have Noah Dobson at 20 who just gets into the postseason.
So where's this young core is the point I'm trying to make. You've got one forward and one defenseman who's played one game. He played 30. He was a healthy scratch at time. He was a healthy scratch throughout the postseason. And I'm not saying Dobson's not going to be good. I think he is. All I'm saying is, where's this young core?
I would say Anthony Beauvillier is going to be a part of that as well. We saw him score some important goals. He's been around 20 and even getting to 20 a couple of seasons ago. I think there are certainly some young. It's not the youngest team. No, of course not. That's the only point I'm pushing back on.
That's all.
Okay, well, then what would you have them do then? Like, what is the counter? That they try to skate with these teams, get absolutely S-canned, but hey, look at this. We finished ninth in the draft lottery and are just perpetually in mediocrity like they were for most of my adult life.
My worry is that they I don't care, to be perfectly honest, but my worry would be, if I'm an Islanders fan, that they look at this and say, well, we were two wins away from the Stanley Cup final, let's go back to doing this again, as opposed to taking more of an intellectual look at their team and say, okay, well, a good chunk of our top six forwards, a good chunk of our core right now is into the post-Apex territory. That is what I would say, and that is what I think would be the danger that they put themselves into right now.
And I think I would say they understand that a lot of their guys are in kind of the, I guess, post-Apex. But, I mean, Jordan Eberle at $5.5 million is going to be fine for them. Pageau at $5 million is going to be fine. But, yeah, no, they don't have absolute superstar. So this is the way you win when you don't have that guy. Like Will said, they've tried to go out and get Artemi Panarin. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear rumblings of them trying to bring Taylor Hall in at some point in this offseason. They'll have to get creative cap-wise. But I think this is a team with... I think this is a team with Lou Lemon. Well, what the hell else are they supposed to do? Like, do you want them to bottom out, go get a top five pick, which they did in Michael Del Cole, which worked out awesome for them. This is with what they have right now, with the salaries they have on the board.
You're advocating for them to be the Minnesota Wild, is what you're doing right now.
No, I am saying they have some pretty bad contracts on their books right now, and instead of trying to just bottom out, they have tried to have some success, which I will 100% of the time absolutely applaud.
Will, last word to you.
I don't really have a lot to add. I mean, I think they're building it the right way. They, you know, it's hard to not every team that you bottom out is going to be guaranteed success by building high or picking high. Just ask the Edmonton Oilers. What have they done? I'd rather have the Islanders last 2 years than I would the Oilers last 2 years. So,
well, comparing anybody to the Oilers doesn't, like,
well, that's what I mean. Though, like, if you're, the Oilers, you're crushing them for signing a 30-year-old. Well, what are they going to do? Pick first overall for the next 4 years and be terrible anyways? Like, I don't know what else they're supposed to do. And I don't think, like, did Barry Trotz have the same style in Washington, or is he just coaching because he doesn't have the roster right now with the Islanders? I don't think they're going to play this boring style for the next 4 or 5 years.
That was fun, boys. I don't think they've got a choice, because I don't really think they're going anywhere, but we shall agree to disagree. That was a fun chat, and I love it, because we have to have that conversation, the longer-term conversation about the best team always win in the Stanley Cup playoffs anymore. We don't have time for it now, but that was fun. Good job, boys.